Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity of Matt AG Digital.
And before we get started, head over to kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca/checklist and download Matt and Brian's marketing checklist for Kawartha small businesses. We're recording today from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community at 18 Kent Street West in downtown Lindsay, Ontario. And with us today, we have a small business that is necessary to a thriving region, and that is everyone's favorite desserts, and it's Jen Arnold from The Sweet Kitchen. Welcome, Jen.
Hey, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
All right, and we are wanted to have you on the podcast anyway because you have an awesome business, but we have some very exciting news that you're starting to tell people about the future of your business. So yeah. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, we're opening a storefront at 101 Kent Street West in the formerly Unwrapped building, and we're starting the build out, and we're hoping to be open end of September, October. Oh, early wow. October-ish.
Fall 2022.
Fall, probably November. But
it's like the perfect time. Like,
yeah.
You know, now we're in late August as we're recording this. We are getting a few cool mornings. People start to think about fall and, you know, what goes better with fall than, you know, nice
pumpkin spice everything.
Pumpkin spice everything.
So. Yeah.
Do you have all your pumpkin puree orders in?
I do. Yes, I have a back stock ready to go. So September 1st, it'll start.
Do you go hard on the pumpkin spice stuff, or are you sometimes resistant to it?
No. I mean, people like it, and I like it. Like it's a good combination of flavors. So yeah, we do pumpkin tarts and pumpkin cheesecake, and actually an apple spice cake. So there we get away from the pumpkin completely. But yeah, no, it's a good thing to eat.
Yeah.
So
do you like the pumpkin spice stuff?
Oh, I'll confess I've never had a pumpkin spice latte because I'm not really a latte drinker. I don't like milk heavy drinks, but I love pumpkin spice stuff. Like I love whenever that's in a recipe, like if I'm making it, I like hit it way heavier handed. Like I love if I'm having a pumpkin pie that's like kind of extra spice, like I love that.
Yeah.
Like, I will hit good pumpkin pie spice stuff.
Do you do pumpkin beer?
I've had, this is a little bit of a sidetrack, but I've had a few that were like disgusting.
Yeah.
And then there's a brewery in Ottawa called Big Rig Brewery, and the brewer there, Lawn, I think is one of the top brewers in Ontario. And I was at the craft beer conference and I tried their pumpkin spice one and it was like outstanding. So I will have one that's like that and really good. But a lot of them are not my favorite.
Yeah, they're polarizing. Yeah. Half of them are the best ever or they're putrid.
Right.
I found the beers. It's just, there's no in between.
Yeah.
I think like pumpkin spice with pumpkin stuff is good. Like I think there's the trend where people try to overdo it or they don't realize like the spices you put in pumpkin pie are also in lots of other things.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's not really pumpkin spice. It's just the regular flavor. So
yeah,
I like that stuff. So
yeah.
So tell us about sort of that decision to get into a shop because you've been open since 2007,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah, and we've actually been here before. You know, like it was kind of always the goal when I started the business, even before I started the business. We came from Ottawa. I worked at Weston Hotel. And it's just, you know, like just like to have my own place someday. That would be awesome. But we tried seriously probably about 10 years ago, and it was just like square peg, round holes. Like, we couldn't find the right place. We couldn't find any of the right kind of ingredients to even get started. And so my husband and I just discussed it, and it's like, okay, it's just not going to happen? And then you kind of look over the years here and there. And then I think I finally just said, it's not going to happen. So I'll just continue on with what I'm doing. And then COVID hit. And it was like, oh my God. It was just, that was a rough couple of years. And then coming out of it, it's just, well, should I even continue on? Should I look for another job? Should I? It was just kind of a rethinking everything. And then in June, I guess, Melissa from the DIA happened by the market on a Saturday and said, hey, the Unwrapped space is open. You should be in there. And it's kind of like, you're right. Yeah, I think I should be. So I talked to Doug about it, and we were like, yeah, okay, well, we'll look into it. But then everything just kind of fell into place. Like, I knew you guys, so I got a lot of really good business information, because I think that was the, doing the business plan, I think, was always a stumbling block, because it's so big and it's so many moving parts. And it's like, do I really understand it? And what am I working towards? And then, like, with Brian helping me, like, figure out, okay, well, this is how much do you have to sell in a day? Like, is that doable? So it was just breaking it down into pieces and having everything falling into place. And it just, okay, let's go for it.
I think it like naturally comes in, and I love like the signage that's up there. It just looks like it's been there for forever. Like, it's one of those things where the space really fits. I think the downtown needs you.
Yeah.
You create such great product that, you know, we joke in marketing, you know, if you solve someone's problem, you have an obligation to tell them about that and bring that to them. And, you know, having, you know, desserts, sweets is like a timeless sort of part of our culture. Mm-hmm. And to have high quality ones, like, it just makes sense that we have a really great shop that has them in downtown Lindsay.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of stuff going for you in the Sweet Kitchen. Like, I'll just repeat a lot of the stuff that Brian said, but I think it's an entire city or town that's advocated for you. And a lot of business owners down here that want a bakery down here, and not any bakery. And we've talked about this, and we'll repeat ourselves a lot. I'm sorry for the point of the podcast, but you're not someone that over COVID was like, well, now I'm going to sell my cookies. Man, I'm going to figure out how to be a baker. Like, you've been doing this for Sweet Kitchen since 2007. You probably, I'm going to ask you in a second, a bit more of your history, because I think that's fascinating. But you're not someone that just was like, oh, I've got cool Rice Krispie squares, maybe someone will buy it. I think if that baker, home baker, transitioned into a shop downtown, I don't know if that would be successful. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but I actually think it's a lot of your experience, your brand recognition, the fact that you do have outstanding product is going to be one of the biggest reasons why it will be successful down here.
Well, thank you.
So, like, I was interested. I know we spoke, like, last October. I sat outside Thrive with you while you were pitched a tent and were selling some stuff there. And I was fascinated to know, like, you weren't just, like, not that there's anything wrong with the whole baker title, but, like, tell us a bit about your history, like, experience wise, like, you're a legitimate baker.
Yeah. I had been working in the government after not actually successfully completing a BA, but mostly, I think 2.5 credits short. But anyway, I walked away and was working at the government, and it just wasn't for me. And I was. You know, every Sunday night, it's just, oh, I don't want to go to work. But, you know, what do you love? I've always loved to bake. So I thought maybe I should just make a go of it. So I went to Algonquin and did the pastry program. And on graduation, went to work for Mövenpick and a small bakery, the Ritz in downtown Ottawa in the Byward Market. And then I got hired at the Westin. And the Westin was just the perfect job. Like, it was just, every day was different. It was a business class hotel, so we were doing, like, high-end things and just learning every day. Like, just, it was amazing. So my husband wanted to go back to school to change. He's actually a chef, wanted to do something on the environmental side. So he applied to Fleming, and we moved here with the plan of leaving when he was finished his program. And that didn't happen. So he got a job at the Ross, and because it was well-paying, and any jobs in the environmental field would kind of take us to a bigger center. And we just, once we were here, it was kind of like, I really don't want to go back to a bigger center. So we made it work. And in 2007, I just kind of casually called the city and said, if I could start something in my basement, like, could I be inspected? What do I need? And they were so on board. They were just, you know, well, contact fire department, the health department. And I did that. And everything just kind of fell into place. And so we started at the market, the farmer's market on Saturdays. And I had been working in Peterborough. So Planet Bakery was my employer. So I actually supplied them from home. And then I had a few other restaurants. At one point I had 7 restaurants and lost everything in COVID. So it was just kind of, you just change how you do business and even just questioned continuing the business. But then I took a different route.
And I think what's neat is, having supplied the restaurants, and even like, I didn't realize you were baking for the Planet Bakery. And that was one of my, they've closed now, but one of my favorite places to go in Peterborough is the Planet Bakery. So, just the awareness and the people have tried, so many people have tried your products that it just makes sense that you have a home where people can come and get it all the time.
It just took this long to figure it out.
Were home bakeries common in 2007, or was it almost like a somewhat unknown concept then?
I think Lindsay is probably, if you can employ yourself, the city's going to be a little more excited about it. Whereas had I tried it in Ottawa, there would have been many more hoops to jump through, I think. I could be completely wrong, but I think there weren't a lot of people doing it. And the reason why I wanted to be inspected is because then the restaurants I supply to don't have to, like, they know it's coming from a certified kitchen because they can be fined heavily if they're just getting it from, Sammy's kitchen, in the garage or something. Like, it's not disrespectful of that, but it's just, I wanted to cover my bases because I'm also super paranoid about doing things properly and by the book. And so for me, it was just, I need insurance. I need everything. So I just wanted to do it properly. Then I'm not backpedaling, trying to fit in if I get caught with something. And it's just,
I think that was around a time too where there was some rule changes about home bakeries and encouraging people to get in health inspection. Because at the time, I know some people who kind of got out of that because they had always just made stuff at home and sold it, but they had no controls in place, no, proper dishwashing stuff. So, to take that step to really professionalize, and that was, a neat step to have, and probably helped you really pave the way for being ready for your own bricks and mortar retail location.
Yeah, for sure, eventually.
Awesome. So tell me about... this is a question for Matt, who's one of your best customers. tell me about some of the stuff you love to buy from the street kitchen.
Where am I ranking when it comes to one of your best customers? Probably, not the best. Because I come, whenever I'm at the market, it's pretty regularly.
Yeah.
I go to you.
Yeah.
And I think I told you conversation a couple weeks ago. I don't look at pricing for her stuff. I just go and I'm like, well, that looks good. I know I want this. And I just buy whatever. I first started going to you probably because of the coffee. And there was coffee at the market, which was unique. And I've only been going to the market about 3 summers now, I guess. Maybe 4, probably 3. It was Treble Clock. And a couple of agencies ago that I worked for was like really big into coffee. It's like nerd coffee guys. And they're getting like AeroPresses and like all these like fancy coffee. Like we were, honestly, Jen, we were weighing our coffee beans.
Well, yeah.
Like for a single making of coffee. Like
yes.
It was taking like 5 or 10 minutes to make a coffee. Management was so mad. Anyways, Treble Coffee was like the best one. We were right around the corner from it. We were a picker. So we'd drive there like every couple weeks to get a new bag of beans. And that was the first time I ever realized you can, like, the beans aren't just brown or dark. Like, they come in white and then they roast them there, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, I loved that coffee. I still love that coffee. It's so unique still to this area. I mean, it's like earthy, it's complex, there's a lot going on. It's not your typical cup of coffee. And then I think, what did we get into? Like, I know we would have gotten squares or, like, tarts. I don't know what you would call them, squares.
Yeah.
Called squares.
Bars.
Brownies.
Yeah.
Or bars. Bars, yeah. And then I would get the ham and cheese pastry for breakfast. It's like, we don't eat breakfast on Saturdays. We go to the market. We're great parents, and we let our kids eat pierogies and cookies. Oh, no, it was the ginger molasses.
The spicy cookies.
The
yeah.
spicy cookies.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's how I got hooked on you, because it was spicy cookies, my kids would call them, because they were ginger and they were spicy.
Oh.
So I would go and I would go in every week. I haven't had one of those weeks because now I've like graduated to more
right.
stuff. But like I just got hooked from that regard. And like those spicy cookies, the ginger molasses cookies, are maybe one of my favorite types of cookies. And I think you do it the best because I've had them from other places. It's like anytime I see it, it's my go to. We've been out for coffee, and I saw on the counter, and I was like, oh, I want some of those, and they weren't good. Like, Jen's are the perfect combination of, like, they're still a bit chewy, they're still soft. Every week, they're a little bit different. Like, sometimes they're a bit more spicy than others, or, like, there's a bit more chew, because, like, they're being fresh made that week or
yeah.
a couple days beforehand. So
Friday afternoon.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's what got me hooked, and the latest thing that we had, I started getting into that. Is it macaroons?
Macaron.
We had this conversation the other day with someone while we're at the market. My oldest son got into them, and I started eating them. I'm not usually a fan of them, but yours are like outstanding. They're so good. I got into those. We got into the, I don't know why I never got a s'more bar before, because that's normally down like my alley. And then we had friends over, I think, where we bought some bars at our squares over. And we had one of those, and my wife was like, what is this? Why were we not getting this for a year? I was so mad at myself. You got the, what's the other one I like? That one's good. The marshmallow. Isn't
yeah,
the marshmallow one?
I do like 3 peanut butter
okay.
marshmallow things.
I like the marshmallow because it's so gooey.
Yeah.
And then that punch of peanut butter in there and everything. But you've always got something new and different. And I just truly think that you are the best baker in Coeur d'Alene. There's another one in Peterborough that I think about that I'll maybe throw out, like Hard Winter Bakery.
Mm.
I love Hard Winter Bakery.
Yeah.
And I've been to a lot of other bakers and bakeries around town. They're good to great. Yours is very different. It's on a different level. So
thank you.
Yeah, I think that's the magic of, again, why you're obligated to open a bricks and mortar place. Because when you have that, there's a talent of like, and you know, training of a pastry chef. So it's not like you're mass producing the same exact thing, but even like you mentioned that I love like the cookies are a little bit different each time. So it helps you, makes you have to, you know, chase the bite, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not like a box of cookies where you know what you're getting from the store every time. And yeah, they might be good, but it's like, oh, are these ones, like, how are these ones going to be a little bit different that surprises me?
Yeah.
So it makes people chase. And even just the that discovery of like, what's that next thing that I wish I ordered like years ago? Like, there's just always a reason to go in and discover that, right? Like, you
yeah.
want to try all your new things, or,
yeah.
And you're probably always inventing some things as well.
Yeah. And I get bored easily. And so it's just, yes, I want to produce like the core things that everybody relies on. And that's important too. That brings people back. But I also want to do things that I want to do. So I'm just, yeah, I'm going to do a third version of the peanut butter marshmallow brownie because I want more marshmallow on it. So, Yeah. So I just, you know, or bro nuts or something just kind of interesting or fun.
I didn't even mention, like, your most famous thing is the butter tarts.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I never even mentioned that. And that's maybe one of the first things I had. And they're exceptional.
Oh, thank you.
One of my favorite stories of that is your tarts are available at North Ward / Fresh Fuel. And when North Ward, a few months into their existence, Leanna told me how many tarts they had sold. And it was like a number that sort of blew my mind for a small shop that had just opened. So, like, you know they're good when they're, like, consistently selling in volume.
Yeah, that was a tremendous help supplying them during COVID. And for them to even open during COVID was amazing.
Yeah.
And they're going strong, and they just keep doing different things too. And it's just, and they're just a really good connection to have. I just really appreciate my friendship with them. So yeah,
they're good. They're huge advocates for Lindsay and Kawartha Lakes and other businesses. And I think some people, if they opened a business like that, they might be scared of you or not want your product there and be very inclusive or exclusive. That's the word.
Right.
But they embrace it. They want everybody to join in. And I think that's, like, one of the big reasons for their success is, like, the ability to share that and bring all these other great ideas and stuff in.
Yeah. Well, and I think as a customer, you feel good because you're supporting them, but you're also supporting Cake by the Lake or us or
the Half
Baked Cookies. Yeah. So it's just, it's really good.
And there's enough different products to go around. Like, you can't have all the things in one spot. You noted Cake by the Lake, and I haven't noticed that they still do this, but I remember before they would have different flavors available at different spots. So they would have, like, you know, there's the mini cakes and the big cakes, and they would be at Farmer's Butcher, Pan Avino Market, and Fresh Fuel, and maybe a few other places, but certain flavors were only at certain places that week. So to me, it was like a hunt. It was like, oh, if I want key lime, it's at this place.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, oh, I want butter tarts, they're here. Or, like, spicy cookies are, here, right? And creates just a fun network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's the concept of the new shop going to be? So, like, I'll give you a second to think about it. Like, is it going to be more like you walk in and there's a counter, there's a massive menu, and there's a dozen tables that people can sit in? Or is it you walk in, you grab what you want, and leave? Or is it going to be you walk in and it's more like you sit down with you and do, like, a custom conversation about, like, custom boxes or whatever? Like, what, tell us about the new shop and, like, the concept of it.
Well, I guess the biggest kind of, when I see people's faces fall when I say we're not having tables, I do feel badly. But it's a very small space. It's under 900 square feet. So just to get my kitchen in there, is going to take up most of that space. So it will just be a takeout. And then in terms of a giant menu, it's hard because you don't want to go crazy. But I kind of want to go crazy and just have, like, a bunch of everything and make everyone happy, right? I think we'll probably start out with everything we have now and then just add a few things here and there. I'd like to eventually get to having, you know, a few cakes just in the cooler. If somebody's birthday is, oh my God, their birthday, I need a cake.
You're going to do cakes?
Yeah.
Just 4 months ago, you were like, I'm not doing cakes. I'm never going to your cakes.
Not custom cakes. Okay. No. But this is our stable. We have, four to six flavors. Yeah. Or do a cake of the month or something like that. Probably have a subscription box or two and just kind of figure out that. I've always wanted to do a sending off your kids to university or college or something, like, so that they make friends. So here's your brownies and cookies that you can share. So something like that. I just want to get going. And yeah, I have a lot of ideas. It's the follow through that can sometimes be the problem. But yeah.
I think what's neat is you don't have to do all the ideas all at once.
Right.
But I love the idea of, like, oh, I want to do all these things,
But if it's like I do one of these a week, that just is stakes for us to come every week.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, oh, what's the new thing this week? Because, you know, if it's, say, just tarts, you can only eat so many butter tarts. Like,
right.
I can maybe eat them once a week, but I'm not going to probably. But, you know, it's like you just know there's going to be something there that's going to be interesting. So it keeps people coming through.
Yeah. And then there's the savory side. And I'm not sure, again, once we get in there and see, because we're not, if we're just a bakery, it's not like we have kind of maybe a breakfast rush, but not especially a lunch rush. You know, but we'll see once we get in there, like maybe just offer, okay, this week we're having mac and cheese or something. That's kind of in the back of my head.
Ooh, I like that too, because I think, again, it's how you complement things that are around you or do something that's a little bit different. So, you know, there are people who just want that, you know, they work downtown, they might want to supplement their lunch a little bit with like just something savory or like a little treat that sort of accompanies your stuff. So
I walk out from Thrive once a week after my lunch to like go get a sweet somewhere.
Go hunting, right?
Well, like the options are extremely limited down here, and who knows if and when they're open. So I'm like, it's a fun little game with myself. What's open today and where can I get it? So I like the idea of like there's a permanent bakery downtown, and that's what I'm super excited about. So
I love the idea of like the mac and cheese thing, because I was like, oh, if I brought like say a smaller like a lunch that day that I've thrown together, it's like, oh, I can go get that as well. Right? So and I'm not going for like a whole lunch production, but you're able to do that. Or you can go find that cookie afterwards. And while you're there, maybe you order the box for, you know, Friday night or that party that you're going to on the weekend. We've talked about that a lot. I think, you know, you want to make someone feel like a hero box. Right? Like, you take this box somewhere, you're going to be the hero.
Right.
And so you're that new student at university. You walk in with that box, like, guess what? Like, you are the hero.
It's the hero cookie box. Yeah. Isn't that where you're like, oh, you want a hero cookie? Like, yes, the hero cookie box. You're going to go somewhere and you're going to be a hero. Or like, we go to Buddy's Barbecue Pit in Keene.
Yes.
And Brian, every time I go, he's like, it doesn't matter what it is, whatever's in the crock pot, get it. And it'll always be good. And it's always good. And that's what we maybe need to replicate here.
Yeah.
It's like crock pot, like, lunches. Whatever's in the crock pot, just get it. It's going to be awesome. Get that and your treat on the side type of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's awesome. I think, too, just the idea of pre-ordered boxes. My one product suggestion is a mystery box.
Yeah.
No one ever likes doing them, but kids love. I used to love, like, the surprise bag you get. Like, here's a surprise box.
Yeah.
Take it in somewhere, and then you're not, like, I get paralyzed by choice if I see all of the, all the things to try. But, like, if you know everything's going to be good, like, just buy the surprise box. And, you're curating a culinary journey.
It's true. I've done that when we've had maybe a less than ideal turnout at the market. If it's raining or something, we tend to go home with more things. So I will just divide it into boxes and put them up on Facebook or something, and they're sold in usually in a half hour. Like it's just, and I have other friends with other businesses like Cake Supply, and she does surprise things all the time, and it's just, they sell out, and you just think, wow, like it's really. But it is fun. They're fun to open. It's like, oh, I haven't tried that, so I'll try that this
time. You're in a fun, happy business, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And when you're having fun, you want to have more fun. So why not add some sweets? And if you're not having a great day and you want to turn it around, you can change your mood with a nice box of sweets. So
have an eat your feelings box.
You're in the perfect business. And that's great. You know, that's a marketing campaign,
right?
Sometimes we need these just different things, and it's kind of the same product, but it's has a fun twist on it.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
What are you most excited to get out of your basement about? Like, what's the most exciting new thing that you not maybe new thing, but getting out of your house and into the shop? What's the most exciting part about that for you?
I think just seeing people again on a daily basis. Like right now, everything kind of hinges on the market, and it's just, and if it's so busy, I just can't chat with anyone, and that's always disappointing. But I think it's just like we've built relationships for the last 15 years, and I think it'll just be really great to see. I don't have to just see you on Saturday. I can see you on a Tuesday, or so I think that'll be good.
I think that's the part that, like, you are going to, my prediction is you're going to be busy from the first day, because you're going to have all these people you've built relationships with. They know who you are. They're walking by right now and seeing the sign and probably getting like excited, right? And they're going to want to, come in, get to know you more, try the other things, right? When we go to a market on Saturday, there's, you know, so many choices. You know, some days that stuff doesn't fit, but now you're open all the time and you have different things. So
and probably having a refrigerated display, because right now it's hard at the market for macarons or something like that, and just to watch them melt into puddles by the end of the day, it's so sad. But they'll be properly stored, so you can have them all the time, even in humidity. So
I think that's, again, the best part about you being around for so long and doing this for so long. Like, you're going to be busy on day one versus another bakery that opens up and is brand new. People are going to, like, oh, I got to go check that out. But that could take weeks,
and then they
months.
Don't know what to try, right?
Yeah.
It's like you come in, you're like, do I try this? Do I take a risk? Whereas I think with people know, you know, like Matt and all the things that are good, it's like there's not really a risk, right? It's like, I'm going to leap and try this new thing because I know, you know, I can get a tart tomorrow if I want. So,
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
What are you most scared about?
Failure.
What failure?
Just not being busy and not making what I need to make to pay everyone and pay the rent. So, yeah, that's it's still there. I think, you know, like 80% I'm thinking, we'll be successful, but there's still a bit of, you know, but what if? What if we don't? What if we're homeless this time next year? You know, I guess, yes, if we have a 5-year. Well, and actually the rent now is cheaper than probably most rents in Lindsay for living. So, yeah.
That's awesome.
I think it's interesting, you know, a lot of people talk about failure. We've talked about on the podcast failure before. I don't think that happens in that sort of like, yeah, we'll be homeless next year type.
Okay.
So push that out of your mind. Like, I think, you know, there's a bigger chance that you should fear crazy success where it's like, it's so busy. Now you have to really start traffic controlling and figuring it out. But I do think that, you know, the space you have, I think you're set up for long-term success. Mm-hmm. You're not moving into a big giant factory where now you have 10 employees that you got to keep busy all the time. Like, you know, it'll be nice if there's a lineup, right? Like,
right. Yeah, true. True.
And forget the people, sorry, that are going to, like, what do you say? They're like heads drop when there's no seats.
Yeah.
But, like, they probably don't understand logistically how different running that bakery would be.
Right.
Now you're a baker, an excellent baker. Now you got to learn how to run a restaurant. Now you got to train servers. There's different logistics, like, bureaucratically.
Right.
Don't listen to those people. That's nonsense. Like, they don't get it. Yeah, if they want that, go ahead and open it.
Yeah.
Go ahead and open a 1,500 probably square foot building, 2,000 square feet. That might be too big, but and do that. And then have fun trying to sell a piece of cake for $20 and then making that back.
Right.
With
yeah.
Sort of like, that's a completely different business model. Like, that's not so easy. So
yeah, that's true. And that's, I think in my head, all along when I was dreaming of my little place, it was always tiny. It just, yeah. I just like really small, cute spaces. So it's like, yeah, this is, that's the smallest, cutest space here. So
it's really awesome. And, you know, there's lots of benches in downtown Lindsay to like buy something, have it sit on the street and have it. There's parks nearby that you can get to fairly quickly.
True.
I think that's going to be.
And if they
really
did more
cool
with that empty space beside the dollars, like, that would be great. That would just be so great for so many businesses just to have maybe a little bit more seating or an umbrella or two or something. It would just be really nice.
Yeah, really neat to do that. Yeah. Tell us about, I know one of the busy things that you do is pre-orders for, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas time.
Yeah.
So tell us a bit about that.
So we usually come up with the Thanksgiving menu maybe by the second week of September, so you can pre-order. Thanksgiving is actually a huge day for us at the market. So I'm not, with the opening, I'm not sure if that's going to affect things. But yeah, we do have the website, www.thesweetkitchen.ca, where you can pre-order everything in advance if you like, and then you're sure to get it. Because we don't make, at the market, we don't make extra pies. We just make them for if they've been ordered. That's it. So just because pies are not my favorite, but maybe they will become my favorite. so we're always open to pre-orders, and it's kind of slowed down since the market has picked up a bit. Like for the 2 years, I guess we started our website during the first year of COVID, and thing that people were ordering every week and just having really big orders, and then coming to the market, but there was a lot more social distancing, and so people just wanted to make sure they could get what they needed. And so that's fallen off a little bit, but certainly for the big days, the big holidays and stuff, pre-orders are great and we really appreciate them. So
yeah, I think the idea of the pre-order, especially around those holidays or events, is great. Like, I think, I don't know if I've talked about it on the podcast, but like last Christmas, I did a pre-order from Two Dishes Cook Shop in Peterborough, and I got some food. For those days where, you know, in between holidays where like you not really want to cook, and I wasn't going to have leftovers at my house, so I was like, oh, just buy some leftovers. And then I got a few pies, and I was like, this is like the best thing ever, because you could cut it into small pieces and you just have like days worth of amazing things. So I was like, I am always going to order a box of squares or just that type of stuff around holidays. I just think it's a great idea. Again, you can show up at an event with something like that and be the hero.
Right.
You can just have it for yourself if you are, if you love leftovers or having it around, but you're not hosting anything, and then you don't have to like, you know, bring a big purse and things away. You can have your own.
Yeah.
So I just think that's just a really good idea to have easily available. That's such good quality stuff.
Are you still going to do online orders?
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, I think we're going to move to Square.
Oh, yeah.
From Shopify, just because we're going to have a Square register. And I think because the orders that come online will actually just show up on the register immediately. So I think that's probably.
Are you on Shopify right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Talk about that after.
Yeah.
But is this your last summer at the market then? Can you say that definitively?
No, I can't say it.
Okay.
As we go on and we get closer to actually opening, it will probably be the end of this season for us at the market.
Okay.
So depending on where that falls, and we'll let people know. Because I think it'd just be too hard to figure out a Saturday from the storefront plus the market. But next year, we may do just a modified, maybe we won't have the coffee. We'll just do cold drinks and sweets at the market. Doug really likes doing the market. So, you know, that would be great.
A smaller tent even there.
Yeah. Yeah. So just, I'm not saying no, because I mean, it's fun and it's,
I think it's a marketing exercise too.
Yeah.
I can be convinced either way if you should go or not, but I think if you treat it as like, I don't know how much it is, but X amount of dollars, and this is just more eyes on the business, and you've got a massive sign that's like, go to this location, we're here all the time.
Yeah.
I think it's a fantastic marketing exercise. I don't think you're going to get more eyes on the business. Well, yeah, you could, but like, digitally. But like, it's a great eyes on the business from foot traffic. It's a great marketing tool.
Yeah.
So.
Well, even just the, sorry.
I was going to say, it's a great way to test out new stuff too sometimes, or like market exclusive things.
Yeah.
Like it's just a fun thing to do.
There's such a good community support around the market in general. It is just, it's always busy. It's always a good day. So it's just to kind of cut that off. Like there've been people that have been coming for 15 years and you see kids grow up and it's just kind of, I don't know. Like it's just really nice to be part of that. And I hate to not do that anymore.
Yeah.
But you know, we'll see how it goes. But.
What you could do is like heavily market that, not that you're not at the market, but open up earlier on Saturdays in the summer. It's like, we're still at the market. It's our market day, but we're just couple steps that direction, open up earlier. We've got a special feature for market day. Just treat it like market day still.
Yeah.
It's just you've moved for a little bit.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer, but I would be doing that at least to that minimum. So
yeah.
And even if like, you probably be open while you're at the market. So like yeah, get people from there to the other store, check it out. So
yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
New venture. Anything else that you'd like to make sure everyone knows about?
I don't know. Well, just, we'll keep you posted on social media when the opening date is getting nearer, and hopefully it's not too far away. But yeah, we'd like to see you at the new spot. So
awesome. Matt, any final thoughts?
No, I'm just like super excited about this. Like, in all seriousness, I hope it, like, I am being genuine about this. I think you're fantastic. I think your product is fantastic. There's a very small handful of things that I think need to be downtown, and you and this baker are one of them, and I'm super excited about it.
Thank you.
I'm excited too. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to be on the podcast, reach out to us. We'd love to help you start, grow, or recharge your business. Make sure to watch and check out the Sweet Kitchen. If you'd like to talk to us, we can be reached by email at setitup@coworthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca.